2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Welcome back to another DFS Army season-long fantasy basketball podcast sponsored by Overlay DFS, home of the Start Sit Progressive Jackpot. I'm season-long says, joined as always by my friend Steve Mud18. How you doing, my friend?
Doing pretty good, man. How about you?
Good, good, good. I've been watching you join Keg on the DFS Army Daily podcast, man. You guys are that is a really good, interesting podcast. Are you enjoying doing it with them?
Yeah, no, it's been a lot of fun. It's different. It's nice to break down the slate with someone else's eyes on it, too. That always helps us as coaches, too, just having extra eyes and
right.
Yeah, no, it's been great.
Yeah, sometimes it's right. It doesn't matter who's the more experienced or who, you know, who's doing. It's like when you have a fresh set of eyes, you definitely miss things that other people. So it's like you're seeing things that he doesn't see and he's seeing things that you don't see. That's really
exactly.
Cool.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's, you know, that actually is one of the thoughts I had by having, you know, having you join me on here because, you know, I study season long fantasy basketball. I know you're mostly in the DFS, but just from our first conversation together, I knew right away that you see basketball a very different way. You peeled that back the onion layer a little bit and I enjoy having you on. A lot has happened since our last weekly podcast, and what we're going to do is catch people up on some of the news and then go into what we thought were about five or eight big surprises so far in the fantasy season, things that we did not see coming. How does that sound?
Sounds good.
All right, cool. So, first of all, did you own Steph Curry in any of your leagues?
I have him in one league, yeah.
What number did you get him at? What pick?
I think he was four or five.
Yeah, you were feeling good when you got him there, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's a good piece of news to start off with. So what do you think, you know, there's some talk, you know, you've heard about the tanking with Golden State. I mean, and then you heard the owner say, no, we're not going to tank. What would you think their best course of action is?
Tank.
And what does that mean? Does that mean
hold Curry out, limit Draymond? I mean, let some of these young guys develop for this year, and then you can get a high draft pick to pair with Steph and Clay for next year when Clay comes back.
Okay. So if you have, all right. So that's really where I wanted to go with this is a fantasy discussion. This guy, Eric Paschal, is that my saying his name right?
Yep.
Is he the real deal? Like, is he for real?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he got scooped up so quickly. Where is he? Give me a little bit about his background.
His background, I don't know what
no, I meant
too
like,
much about, but like the dude's been, from a daily fantasy perspective, has been balling out ever since he got on because they brought in Marquess Chriss to fill that role and he's just been horrible. And then you got Paschal who's just stepped up and he put up over 50 fantasy points the other night.
Yeah. And is he what's his body type? Is he more like Draymond?
He's kind of like a Draymond. Yeah.
Right. Okay. All right.
But he's a better shooter.
Yep. So that's interesting. That is interesting. So yeah. So he's out there now. It looks like also that the D'Angelo Russell has been off to a little bit of a rough start. Yep. So is that just him shaking off the cobwebs? I mean, if you're a season long owner, I know in DFS you've probably avoided him, but in season long, what do you do here?
Season long, I think you keep him. I mean, it's been mostly injuries, but when he's back, he's going to see an insane amount of usage.
Right.
Like the only reason Kai Bowman's doing what he's doing right now is because there's no D'Angelo. So he'll be the scoring leader on that team once he's healthy.
All right. Good stuff. Yeah, good. All right. So yeah, that was like the big news that broke right there. And I think that we'll teeter off into some other season long news as we go through. But I put together a little list here of things that surprised me during the first week or so of the season long fantasy season. And the first one, and I'm curious of your comment, is that this shouldn't be surprising, but LeBron James is still one of the two best players in the NBA.
That was one of the things when you told me to put a few points together, I was like, LeBron is still the king.
Yeah, I mean, that's literally the words I wrote down. LeBron is still the king. And then I put down here, I scribbled down some notes. He's averaging 26 points, 11 assists, 8 rebounds, and 1.6 steals. He's suited up for all 7 games, no load management, 35 minutes. I mean, at age 34, Kevin Garnett was kind of like a role player at this point, right?
Yeah.
I mean, LeBron is, he's still the best player in the NBA at age 34, it's season 17.
It's insane. The dude just is a genetic freak.
If we redrafted today, would he be the number one or number two overall pick?
He'd be top three.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay.
I would love getting him at 9 in one league.
Right. I mean, that's what I'm saying. He was going. I mean, you were like, all right, I'll take LeBron James at pick 9. You weren't even like happy to do it.
I am now.
Yeah, well, of course. Isn't it amazing how that works out in your season-long fantasy basketball? That just sometimes it's the picks that you don't want that work out, and it's the ones that you reach for and you're so confident, and just they kind of, they never meet expectation. All right, what was one of the surprises that you had in your list there?
How fast Trae Young has got off this year. He's looking like, aside from last night, he looked terrible, but he's looking like he might be like top 5 in the MVP voting right now.
Right.
And then, now he just get a huge boost with Collins getting suspended. He's averaging like, he was like all just under 2 fantasy points per minute.
That's insane. And what would now, be that? I mean, how like elite is that? Like what would be an average player?
Average player is like 1. Good guys, you get like a Drummond or like a Cat, something like that, or like around 1.4, 1.5. So he's even, I don't know if it's sustainable, but it seems like it's going to be with how their offense runs.
Awesome. Yeah, no, that's pretty cool. So what I was saying is that like, if he stays healthy, I mean, Atlanta is going to be one of the playoff teams, right?
Yeah. In the East for sure. Yeah.
That is, I mean, that's crazy. Just think about like, I mean, you and I were talking about Trae Young on the 1-2 turn of our season-long drafts. Like, we were totally on board there. That was about 5 or 6 spots ahead of ADP. He was going in the middle of round 2. You and I even talked about that we weren't opposed to taking him at, like, pick 9, 10, 11, 12. You know, we thought it was a little, we didn't think we had to. But, and isn't it funny, though, like, when he was in summer league his rookie year, people were already calling him a bust. Unbelievable, right?
It's a very fickle world out there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's hard because we see what our eyes don't deceive us. He was, and he also in college, like he came out as undersized. I mean, Atlanta, you know, it really is an amazing fit. So yeah, so I, you know, LeBron is king. That Trae Young has just been off to a 6 start. All right, my second shock of the season, our third overall here, was, I mean, I kind of laughed. I read something on Twitter and this kind of spawned this thought, was the Lakers should not have traded Brandon Ingram. Do you remember that the Pelicans wanted Kuzma?
Yep.
And they fought hard and they were like, no, we're keeping Kyle Kuzma. Take Brandon Ingram. And now Brandon Ingram, 22 years old, averaging 26 points on 55% shooting, 49% from downtown, 74% from the free throw line. I mean, he has just like been super high efficient.
Unreal. He's been so good. And like you and me were talking about that too, right before like when Zion went down, it was like, go get Ingram, like jump around and go get him.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. So let's talk. So you think Ingram can sustain this? I mean, how come he didn't have a breakout in the Lakers? Like in your opinion, why all of a sudden? Do you think it's just like,
it was coming? You could see it like towards the end of the year that he was really starting to get comfortable. I think it was just, he was, like, he's a big dude, but he's so skinny that I think he was just getting bodied by some of the bigger guards and the forwards at that spot. And now that he's filled out a little bit, he's still a little too skinny, but he's more comfortable now, like using his body and stuff. So I think that's been the biggest thing for him. Plus he's shooting threes now. He wasn't really shooting threes, and he was just kind of drive to the hoop, maybe pull up a few times. But now that he's gone out beyond the arc, he's just added another facet to his game, and he's been hitting them.
I mean, he looks like an all-star, almost a lock to be an all-star this year. And at only 22 years old, man, I mean, you're right, because the first couple of years he was 19, he was 20. I mean, a 20-year-old, you remember what you were doing when you were 20 years old? Like, I mean, imagine being amongst these men playing, you know, NBA basketball. It's insane.
Yeah, no, it's just mostly drinking.
Yeah, yeah. Not much has changed for us, has it?
No, not really.
That's cool. So, all right. So that one really shocked me. I mean, after we had that conversation, that's what I'm saying. On this podcast, like when we talk through these things, especially pre-draft, that was the point where I was like, it clicked for me. Sometimes, like you said, a second set of eyes, bringing it back to what we said before, is that when you kind of talk it through, you're like, oh, wow. So I jumped up in the fifth and sixth round and took Brandon Ingram in a couple drafts. All right, what is your next thing that has surprised you so far through almost 3 weeks of NBA action?
Speaking of Pelicans, how passive Drew Holiday has been in that offense.
Yeah, elaborate on that a little bit. What specifically?
The production hasn't been there for him. Like I know it's because Ingram has stepped up and it's taken a hit, but I didn't think he would take this much of a hit offensively.
So where is his numbers right now? What is he averaging? Give me his points and assists while I, I was on board. This could end up being one of my biggest misses while Steve's looking it up. I was on board with taking Drew Holiday at the end of the first round. I knew you didn't have to do that. In a couple of important drafts, I drafted him on the 2-3 turn. I think I was on a lone hill by myself with Drew Holiday. It has been disappointing. He came out, he had a little bit of an injury bug to start off with. But you know, I'm still optimistic, I guess, because I own him. But where's he at right now from in the stats spot?
He's averaging 14 points per game, down from 21 last year.
That's bad.
The rebounds are right about the same at 5, and the assists are down from 8 to 6.
Yeah, and yeah, that may not sound like much, but in season-long fantasy league, assists are usually worth more than points, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah, they'll give you – so a point is worth 1, and an assist sometimes is worth up to 3. And in some of the major fantasy sites, what are they worth? Is it 2 or 3, the assists?
It's 2.
Okay, mostly, it's 2. Yeah. Okay, so it's you know, and for good reason, because it's less assists. But when your point guard that you took in the early rounds is averaging 2 less assists, and he's playing 4 games in a week, that's some major point totals. So I definitely agree with that. That's a good one. That's a good one. Also, with the load management stuff, this wasn't on my list, but it's interesting to see that LeBron is not being load managed yet. Do you think, and that Kawhi has already had some games? I mean, the cat is out of the bag with load management as far as season-long fantasy basketball, but how are you handling that in your leagues? I mean, you just like almost ignoring it. I mean, did it affect anything to do with your drafting? Is there anything that surprised you with load management so far?
Not really. I kind of knew, like, I know we had talked about Kawhi. We knew that he was going to be load managed the whole year, so we were telling people not to draft him in the first round. So that really hasn't surprised me. It's kind of annoying being an NBA fan, though, seeing stuff like that, especially last night, like a nationally televised game, Bucks and Clippers, and Kawhi sits out. Like, you work 82 days a year and you get paid a lot of money to do it. Like, you can suit up 2 nights in a row. It's not that big. It's not that hard.
Yeah, but I mean, you know what it's all about. It's all about, for these guys, it's about the playoffs. So,
yep.
I do get it. I mean, Popovich figured it out, a bunch of years ago with his players, and I do understand. But, the solution is obviously what? To play 55 games, right? I mean, but it will never happen. Just like, we know all the reasons why, the financial ramifications. But yeah, I guess that's not a surprise. All right, my next surprise. Now, this is not going to surprise you, Steve, because you were on this player. I didn't know he was this good. Ja Morant is must-see TV. Did you see the dunk in the Rockets game? Oh, my God.
He is legit. He is scary.
Yeah, so Ja Morant, who was the number 2 overall pick after Zion. I mean, in all fairness, we haven't seen Zion in real NBA action yet, but I think if we redrafted today, like the real NBA draft, I think there's a case for Ja Morant to go number one overall ahead of Zion, being that I don't think the Zion injury is, it has to do, I think this could be a perpetual problem.
But yeah.
Is that a totally wild take, or do you think Ja Morant would have a case to go one overall?
No, I thought the Grizzlies got a steal when they got him. He's scary. He's going to be a freak in this league for a long time.
Was he that? I mean, I follow college basketball mostly in the tournament and in the conference tournaments leading up. That's when I start doing my scouting, and that's when I start saying, okay, who are the good players? I mean, I just don't have the bandwidth to watch regular season basketball for NCAA. So was he? I mean, did he come out of nowhere? I mean, or was he a prospect for throughout the whole tournament leading into the tournament?
He was a prospect, but he was on one of those, like, he wasn't on like a big conference team.
Okay.
Good he was player, on bad he was team. In like a middle tier conference, but he was like head and shoulders above everyone else in that conference.
Yeah.
And he was Murray State, if I remember correctly.
So, and that's what I'm saying. So with a top three or top four lottery pick, you want to be, this is what I always say, especially in football and in basketball, I want to be able to turn on the TV if I haven't seen him yet and say, oh yeah, that guy right there, that's the guy they picked. Mm-hmm. I don't want to know anything else besides see him. And when you see Ja Morant play, it's just unbelievable. I if you haven't seen the dunk, and I know it's just one play, it looks like literally that's the definition of posterized.
Yeah.
It's Google it or just search it in YouTube. It's the game against Houston. He made this dribble and then just like cocked it back and just crush. When you're watching TV like that, do you like do the thing where you go, oh, it's great? Like I do it all the time. My wife thinks I'm nuts.
No. I've gotten yelled at too many times for it.
Right.
So I've learned to stop.
You just sit there and just stare at the screen and acknowledge it mentally.
I'll do like the silent.
for those of you who are listening on the audio cast, Mutt just opened his eyes and pulled his face back and almost did the mind blown emoji sort of
pretty
thing.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. All right, cool. All right, you're up, man. What's one of the this is a good conversation. I like the things that surprise, because the things that surprise one may not the other, and a couple of things you've already said, it just kind of brought light. So what's the next thing that has surprised you so far in this short NBA season?
Well, I'm going to stick with the rookie theme. RJ Barrett has been phenomenal for the Knicks so far.
And that shocked you?
He's so more well-rounded than I thought. Mm. He's contributing in every category. He's scoring. He's playing a ton of minutes. The Knicks actually got a pick right with that one.
Well, the Knicks have actually gotten, you know, a decent amount of picks right. They've just poorly managed the team. I mean, yes. Porzingis, everyone hated the Porzingis pick. You remember that?
Yep.
I mean, just then they traded him. I don't know why they did that. So what else about Barrett's game do you like? I mean, has he been playing defense as well? Like, has he been a solid defender?
Yeah, he's been as solid as you can get pretty much all the way around. Like, he looks like a complete player so far.
Does he look like he could be the best guy on, like, a team that could be, like, the 5 seed in the playoffs?
Mm-hmm.
So you can build around him?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
All right. Because sometimes, you know, like with pick three, it starts to get dicey. You're like, okay, this could be like my third best player on a playoff team. But you think that he could be the man.
Yeah, yeah, I do.
From fantasy perspective, man, I've just been following along as a Knicks fan, and it's just been unbelievable. Yeah, his numbers. I mean, he's like, what, 16, 5, and 5 every night?
Yeah, pretty much. I think he had like one bad night, but I mean, he's a rookie, so.
Right.
It's going to happen from time to time.
Mm. So right now, obviously Zion's out. I mean, who would be your, you know, who would you project to be the favorite for rookie of the year?
Right now, I think it's Ja.
Right. So you still think
at this time, but RJ is going to make a case.
All right. I'm going to ask you this every week. I'm going to ask you your season. All right. Let's just go 7 games in. Who would be your MVP right now?
LeBron.
Okay. I mean, isn't it funny? Like it's like when they don't give the MVP to like Brady or like Russell Wilson. It's like they almost get bored of giving it to the same guy, but like that guy deserves it, you know?
Yeah.
And then who would be your most improved?
Most improved.
Actually, hold that thought because let me hear, because it's one of my shocking things of the surprise of the year.
Actually, wasn't prepared for that question. Let me think about that. I'll come up with
That's one of my next themes, my surprises of the fantasy basketball season is I think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander I expect him to be good, but right now he's looking like a superstar, like a legitimate superstar in the NBA. He's super young. He's definitely, he was everyone's favorite sleeper, but he does look like the most improved player so far. Have you been impressed with Shea's performance so far?
It's a good pick. He was on my short list that I just came up with.
Cool. Yeah. No, I do put you on the spot a lot, and I appreciate your quick wit. You know, I mean, Shea's only 21 years old. Last year, I'm just looking at his year to year numbers. Last year he was 26 minutes. This year he's 35. He was 10 PPG last year. So far through seven games, he's 22 points. And I mean, you know, the usage rate is ticked up about 20%. I mean, early on in the season, he's delivered on the preseason hype.
Yeah. No, he's been great.
Cool. All right. Give me your next surprising thing, and then we're going to do is take a short break after that and talk about our friends over at OverlayDFS.com. I have a good story about them to tell you. So your next surprising thing of the NBA season.
How good Deontay Murray looks.
Wow.
Coming back from injury.
Yes. Yeah.
That dude is going to be in – once he gets off his minutes limit, he is going to be an absolute monster.
So what are they? Where's his minutes right now? Is he?
They're like capping him at like 23, 24.
Smart. The Spurs are so smart, aren't they? The way they manage people and keep them just healthy and deploy them correctly. And if you gotten, I haven't seen any Spurs games this year. So is he looked the part right now? Is
He's okay. I'm in our draft. I took LaMarcus and DeMar DeRozan, and I could have gotten him too, but I was like, I don't want three Spurs on my team. That's probably too many, and now I'm kind of kicking myself for not taking them.
You see, you bring up an interesting point, because I think in fantasy basketball, that's okay to have three.
Yeah.
It's like when you do football, and it's season-long fantasy football, you don't, you know, you do QB, you have the wide receiver, you definitely don't want the running back too, unless it's, you know, obviously like the Chiefs or whatever, you know, but I think in basketball, there's enough to go around when you talk about great teams. And it's a lesson learned, because that's what fantasy really is, right? It's like, you've been playing for, you know, plenty of time, couple decades worth already, and you still learn a lesson every year. I mean, you know, it's like having three players on the fantasy basketball team, I used to do the same thing. I used to fade them. But now, and you were on him. I forgot that you were on him. He was one of your late sleepers. So, how nutless of you, Steve.
I know. Been kicking myself ever since.
That's all right. So, all right, we're going to take a short break, but you're not going to leave us. What we're going to do is we're going to tell you about our friends that sponsor this podcast, OverlayDFS.com, the home of Start, Sit, Progressive Jackpots. And if you're tired of having to have the perfect player at every position in order to win your salary cap DFS leagues, are you tired of having your salary cap league out of the running of the money in the first 5 minutes? I know that doesn't happen to you, Steve. Does playing salary cap DFS feel like a job sometimes, not a game? Want a fantasy game with the pros with 150 lineups and computer algorithms can't dominate? Well, then OverlayDFS.com has a new revolutionary start sit game for fantasy sports for you. They are the home of the 10 max entry GPP. They used to only have, Steve, only so you had a single entry, but now they opened it up so you could have 10. Here's how the game works. You make 12 start-sit decisions from about 30 matchups that they give you. A win, a loss, or a tie will be awarded for your overall record for each decision you make. Records in the top 10% will win 9 times your buy-in. And if you go 12-0, Steve, you get the progressive jackpot. So basically what you do is they'll present to you 30 matchups, and then you have to make 12 decisions, which player is going to do better. I have it open right here. I'm just curious from you what you would think. And I have the football one that starts tonight open. Just lightning round. I'll yell out two players, and you tell me which one you would pick to have more fantasy points this week without even looking at the matchups and just kind of spitballing, you know? I mean,
all right.
Yep. Drew Brees versus Jameis Winston.
Drew Brees.
Patrick Mahomes versus Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, it's how do you get Mahomes coming back from the injury? It's hard to go away from, right? All right, I'm going to give you a hard one now. Ready? I'm going to go down to the bottom of the list where they have the dirty options right here.
Give it to me.
All right. Oh, this one's bad. Hunter Renfro versus Tyler Boyd on Cincinnati. The rookie Hunter Renfro on Oakland.
I want to say Tyler Boyd, but is Green coming back this week?
AJ Green's out.
He's out.
Out.
Okay.
So you would take...
I'd take Renfro.
Yeah. Do you remember Renfro in college catching the winning touchdown from Deshaun Watson? Yeah, I mean, you know, you got to love that guy. And if you watched Hard Knocks, so...
Dude was at Clemson for like 9 years.
Yeah, he was Van Wilder, you know? He did like three tours of duty in at Clemson. That's funny. So basically, Steve, if you go 9-3, if you go 8-4 and when you have to guess the 12, you're usually it's good enough to cash. Sometimes it's 9-3 if it's a tough week. But even 7-4 can get you in the cash. And if you go 12-0 at OverlayDFS.com, you win the progressive jackpot. Somebody actually won it last week. They went 12-0 and they hit the $29,000 progressive jackpot. It was insane. And if you love fantasy basketball like we do, it's literally like with every assist, the standings flip upside down because you could do one of these matchups at OverlayDFS.com for basketball. I highly recommend people check it out. It's one of the funnest games out there. They have games that start at $2.50. They go all the way up to $109. And you could do them cross sport. And literally, it's one of the greatest sweats. You can download their app. Just search in the App Store, Overlay Fantasy Sports. So check it out, Steve. If you haven't yet, I know a bunch of our listeners have been asking about it. So
I signed up, and then it's like I get in coaching mode, and then I'm like trying to adjust my lineups, answer questions, and then I'll look at like 657, and it's like,
yeah,
I forgot about Overlay.
Yep. No, it's okay. And that,
I'm getting there. I will get there.
Totally.
It's 8 p.m. lock tonight, so I'll get over there tonight.
Awesome. And, you know, no one's going to yell at you for doing your job first, but definitely play this game. I'm telling you, I had Statsational from Beat the Bookie try it, and he is now addicted to the game. It is a fun game. So, all right, moving back to our conversation on what has surprised us from a season-long fantasy basketball perspective. Are you up? Do you have the next one? We'll go a couple more.
I just went. Your turn.
What was your last one? I forgot.
Deontay Murray.
All right. Yep. Now... A lot of things going on. All right. How about this one? The Harden-Westbrook combo,
was my last one.
Okay. All right. Well, then I'll let...
You got there first.
I was going to say that it looks good statistically, but I don't think it's going to work in reality.
Yeah.
That's worth my take. Were you in a similar vein?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's looked good so far, but I think as the season goes on...
It just doesn't feel right.
No.
It didn't feel right before the season, but we were willing to give it a chance, weren't we?
You tell them they'll stagger their minutes so they won't be on the court at the same time. And
yeah, but why wouldn't you do that?
Exactly.
See, what I noticed just from watching a couple of the games and highlights is that they're not like engaged defensively. And I know neither one of them like normally is, but it looks they look disinterested when they're playing defense.
Yeah, that's how they both have always been. So now they're on the same team. It's not going to work out. They're going to let up a lot of points every game.
Yeah. So all right. So Houston was actually my preseason pick to get to win the NBA title. What where do you see them shaking out? Are they just a one and done? Do you think they'll make it all the way? Do you think they'll be like a one or two seed? Where do you see Houston going with this combination?
I could see them being. Like I could see them being the one or two seed. I think they make it to the Western Conference Finals and get knocked out by the Jazz.
All right. A couple other players I want to ask you about as we close out this session of season long fantasy basketball podcast. Is it any, and just, you can go lightning round, but I am curious your opinion. Did you see this coming that Andre Drummond was going to be the number two overall fantasy player?
No,
I
did not.
It doesn't surprise you though, right?
No, it doesn't surprise me, especially with Blake out. I'm interested to see how that when
you know
Blake
what?
Comes back.
I forgot about that. That's a good point. But I mean, still, I would have predicted him to be like the 12th best.
Yeah. No, he's been phenomenal.
I mean, he's like a league winner right now. Would you cash him in? Like now you have Blake coming back. Do you think that like, would you, if somebody offered you, I'm just looking down the list right here. Like would you trade Drummond away for Harden?
No.
You'd rather have Drummond.
Yeah.
Okay.
For right now.
All right. That's interesting. Would you take Paul George for Drummond? No way, right?
No.
Okay.
No chance.
All right. Couple other guys that are on the list that I thought are doing a little bit better than I thought. Kyrie has been a top eight player. Mm-hmm. Does that shock you in any way? I mean, where do you talk
Not
about?
Not really. We kind of knew he was a first round talent, but we just I just hate who he is as a person, so I have that personal bias. But
right. But we've always said on this podcast that we would draft Saddam Hussein if he got his fantasy points.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not surprising, but I mean he's going to be relied on for that team as long as KD's out. So
now a player that I actively avoided in draft, and stupidly, this is one that I got completely wrong. Malcolm Brogdon is a top 12 fantasy asset. Is that going to stay like that, or do you see that possibly just, you know, that'll fade out? I mean, how is he a top 12 fantasy guy right now?
I think he'll fade a little bit, but I still think he could finish top 20. He has surprised me. I'm not going to lie.
If we were drafted today, where would Malcolm Brogdon go? What round?
Probably like end of the second.
Yeah. Yep. So just a couple comments right here. Here we got Bill, who's a first time viewer. What's up, Bill? Definitely thanks for watching the season long fantasy basketball podcast. We have one of your fans on here is asking where is the Keg and Mutt show? That is the Daily Fantasy show. So we appreciate you coming over and checking us out over here. But this is the season long show, and we welcome all viewers. If you're a basketball junkie, this is the show for you. Now, when just talk a little bit about Mutt on your show, give yourself a little bit of plug. What do you guys do over there? Talk about the crux of what happens on your daily show there with Keg.
So basically we break down the slate at 11 o'clock in the morning, so you're getting a jump start on all your research
Eastern time,
yeah, just by listening to us drone on for about 30 to 45 minutes every morning. But we break down the slate. Sometimes we go position by position, sometimes we go by salary, game by game. It really depends on the slate. We try to identify some value early on that we can, the top plays, and then kind of where to pivot when we know that guys are going to be chalky. So,
yeah. So that I watch that show. I don't get to watch it live because I'm stuck at work, but it is viewing for me on my lunch hour about an hour later. And I know just from my DFS lineup, sometimes I bang my head against the wall, but you guys make it easy because you don't just give out picks. You do that. You say, hey, this is a good guy, but how you guys explain and break down the picks is really what's interesting to me, and it helps me become a better player. So that's what I really like about watching that show. It doesn't just break
that's
down
the goal.
Slate.
Yeah.
So that's why they call you coaches. So make sure you if you go and sign up for, if you're watching this on the public feed, for the VIP membership at DFS Army, you can get and talk to Steve at Mud18 in the Slack chat. And if you use the code says, or do you have a code also, Steve?
Yeah, Mud18.
Mud18, you can either one of those codes, get 20% off, and join us over at DFS Army. Also, what we're doing now is Beat the Bookie. Beat the Bookie is a special section of DFS Army, and use promo code BTB to get 20% off. And that one, where we break down all of the sports and betting angles from all different sports. The coaches over there have been insane. Have you checked out their section?
Yeah, I've been following them for a while now. They're ridiculous.
Ridiculous. I mean, and again, they're not just giving out picks, which they are doing that. They are doing that, but they're not saying, hey, here, my picks, I have the crystal ball, because if anyone really had the crystal ball, Steve, they wouldn't be working for DFS Army. Exactly. They'd be doing it on their own, but their process is so well thought out. It is so meticulous, and they make it, they put it in chunks of easy reading. I admitted on the podcast last week that I read their stuff when I'm on the toilet, and it keeps me there for a long time. What do you read on the toilet, Steve?
I just kind of scroll through FanDuel and make some lineups usually.
All right. So what an advertisement for FanDuel right there.
I know.
Yeah.
Shameless plug.
Lineups while you're making duty. All right, my friend. This was awesome. We're going to do this once a week. We're going to try to do it early in the week, but sometimes we'll do it on Thursday. We wanted a little bit of more news to break, so we'll put out alerts. And what I want everyone to do that's watching this or listening to this in the audio feed is like and subscribe to the DFS Army YouTube channel, Twitter, and Facebook. If you're watching right now on YouTube, just ring the bell, and you'll get alerts when we go live. Steve, anything else? I got one or two more players before we sign off that I've been dying to ask you about. You were a big Zach LaVine guy coming into the season, and geez, did you hit it right? He is a top 18 fantasy asset right now. He was being taken in the eighth round.
Yep.
How'd you know?
I think I just have been watching him all offseason, just reading reports and stuff. And then if that team could actually finish a game, then he'll be even better fantasy wise. But they seem to blow every fourth quarter lead they can. So
Okay. So
I still think he has some ceiling to go.
Yeah. All right. So that one you nailed, and I'm going to, but you know, I don't want to just tout our victories. I'm going to give us one that I'm a little concerned about. What's going on with Bradley Beal? Not that he's been bad, but he hasn't been a top eight guy. It's been more like a top 20 guy so far.
Yeah.
You've been watching him a little bit more closely than I have. What's been going on with Beal? Why hasn't he been like super elite to this point? I know it's only five games and that's like nothing, but what's happening there with Beal?
Rui Hachimura has been a big part of that offense. Like, I thought going into the season, it would be like Bradley Beal. That's it. He's going to take 30 plus shots a game. But I mean, that kid, Rui Hachimura, that they drafted has been really good offensively. So that he's taken the load off Beal.
Hachimura went to Gonzaga, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I remember seeing him in the tournament. So, all right, well, if you're as excited about fantasy basketball as we are, Steve, I always like having a conversation with you because you're the only one that I know is as crazy about as I am. You can catch Steve on his daily fantasy basketball show with Keg. You guys do what, five times a week?
Days I'm not at the firehouse. Okay.
So. When you're not saving lives, you're saving lineups.
Yep.
I get it. All right. And then you can catch me, Season Long Says, on our fantasy football shows. We have the Waiver Wire podcast, the Geeks Vegas Lines podcast on Wednesday. We do it all. And then our Beat the Bookies usually on Saturday. All right. Until next week, my friend Steve, we'll talk some more fantasy. Check out DFSArmy.com. Beat the Bookie. Later, guys. Bye-bye.